Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
As I said at the top, there is a rift in government over extending the mandatory hotel quarantine list, though they will say there isn't a rift. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly wants more countries on it. Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney have opposed the move. So going to take a closer look at all of this with Ireland editor of Independent News and Media, Fionnán Sheehan, and Sean Fleming, Minister of State at the Department of Finance. Also in a moment, I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Gabriel Scally, President of Epidemiology and Public Health at the Royal Society of Medicine in London. Fionnán, Stephen Donnelly, the Health Minister, said last night on primetime very clearly, we're not at loggerheads. Why aren't you taking him at his word?
Well, in effect, he has public health advice behind him quite firmly on this one. There seems to be, if you go back 6-8 weeks, there was a massive public pressure and clamour to introduce a mandatory hotel quarantine system, which was recommended by the public health experts 10 months earlier. It was finally brought in quite slowly, legislation passed, the system being set up. Now, at the time, you remember other departments were being looked at in terms of could transport or justice handle this system so that you're not lumping another thing onto the Department of Health. They all washed their hands of it. It ends on the Department of Health's desk in terms of the rollout and the administration of this system. There now appears to be a complaint from other departments that, in effect, the Department of Health are doing what the rest of them didn't want to do, which is operating this mandatory hotel quarantine system. Every 2 weeks, public health experts meet, called the Travel Expert Advisory Group, TAG, and they have a look at the map of the world and they say, where are cases at in each country? What levels are they at? What's the incidence rate? And are there variants of concern operating there? As a result of that, they write to the chief medical officer who passes this information then on to the Minister for Health, who then consults with the Minister for Foreign Affairs and other colleagues. And that's what happened last week. And suddenly, it would appear that the Department of Foreign Affairs were taken very much by surprise by this notion that European countries in the EU would be added to the list. It might be a good idea if the Department of Foreign Affairs maybe set up a network of offices based in all these countries with people based there who could report back to them what's actually happening there. They didn't seem to notice that France was going into lockdown for 4 weeks. They didn't notice that the incidence rate in Italy was spiralling quite high and that Germany was also dealing with a variant problem and that there were issues in other EU countries.
Okay, let me see if I understand you correctly here, though. What has been depicted in some circles as a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael row, a tribal row within government, is actually, you're saying, the Department of Health versus everybody else who never wanted this scheme in the first place.
Pretty much. I mean, you can put it down to an ideological row or a public health row. Now, we have had public health rows, remember, previously. For example, the tarnished Leo Varadkar pretty much slapping down the chief medical officer last autumn when he was recommending a pretty substantial jump in the level of restrictions. Chief Medical Officer ultimately won out on that one because there was an ultimate climb down. So it has aligned itself whereby we have a Fianna Fáil Minister for Health, though, and the people who are opposed, who were not just opposed, but who were expected to oppose this because they would have counter-arguments, are Fine Gael ministers, notably Simon Coveney, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who has to deal with the diplomatic issues of telling these countries, if your citizens or Irish citizens from these countries travel here, they have to go into mandatory hotel quarantine.
And do they not all have a point in these other departments that the operation of this is far from, well, maybe not transparent, but certainly not clear? At least previously, we went on the R-naught number in a country, or we went on the cases per thousand, or the last 14-day incident rate in a country. Now we just seem to be sticking pins in and out of countries with no clear methodology.
Well, they were basically, there were three criteria set down on this occasion, and there's an argument back from others outside of the Department of Health that the the criteria has changed. So the first one was variants of concern. And that is the primary reason why Austria was put on the existing list. Austria, an EU country, obviously, although this also seems to be news to the Department of Foreign Affairs, was put on the original list. And then the problems that were there in Austria spread across the borders to France, Germany and Italy. Also a problem in the United States with variants, so that's why they were included. The next reason for being put on a list was a high incidence rate of, I think it was over 500 cases per 100,000, and that would have caught France and Italy as well, not Germany in that case, as well as Cyprus, Czechia, Estonia, Hungary, Malta, Poland, Slovakia and Sweden. And then the third criteria, which is a bit looser, was if your incidence rate was 2.5 times that of Ireland at that particular time. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's massively high, it's just way higher than what we would have. And you brought in countries there like Bulgaria, Latvia, Luxembourg, the Netherlands and Slovenia. So the argument coming back is that, look, the criteria weren't nailed down in the first place. They seem to be changing a bit. And there is a lack of clarity, not only about how you end up on the list, but how you come off it as well and how quickly that can happen. So there is a concern, obviously, that once the country goes on the list, that you then can't take it off. At the moment, yeah, you obviously don't have a whole lot of international travel going on, but there are factors such as, for example, students returning from Erasmus placements in continental countries, particularly France, Italy, and Germany, who would need to get home in the coming month. Obviously concerned then they won't be able to return home because they'd have to go into a 14-day quarantine. The illogical arguments that have been put forward here are, well, if there is a large number of Irish people living in the country, it shouldn't go on the list. So, you know, it's what I'd call the Lapland Protocol. There seems to be nasty coronavirus in other non-EU countries and there seems to be nice coronavirus in EU countries. That doesn't make any sense. It's the coronavirus. It doesn't really matter whether it's EU country or not. The other one that's been put forward was that, well, is it legal to charge people, particularly Irish citizens and people from EU countries, given freedom of movement? Again, that's kind of strange, given that this argument was not put forward either by the Attorney General or other ministers when this legislation was travelling through the houses of the Oireachtas. So it would appear that a system that was put in place, the argument is now being put forward. Well, that's not what we intended at all here.
Sean Fleming, Minister of State in the Department of Finance. Let's just back it up to the beginning of what Fionnuala was saying there. Is it the case that everybody else in government is picking on the Department of Health because they never were particularly enthusiastic about this scheme in the first place?
No, but it's a situation that the Department of Health has the sole and primary responsibility in relation to public health advice. Every other department has different priorities and they should defer to the Department of Health when it comes to public health advice. COVID is a health issue. Public health advice has to dominate any decisions that get made. However, what I will say is I actually think it's no harm that we have quite a robust debate and different views are being brought to the cabinet table and the subgroups within the cabinet, because it'd be wrong if the whole country was just in a group think mentality and other views weren't coming to the table. And I think at the end of the process, and even if it is these COVID restrictions have to apply to other countries, we will have a very good decision.
You're absolutely right. Healthy debate is a good thing, but it would have been better, would it not, that the healthy debate had taken place before the scheme was introduced?
No, but you see, why we're going to have this debate and different debates from month to month, and we have it on different aspects because COVID is changing, the level of infection is changing from country to country. And if anybody thinks you can have a debate on the 1st of January, that's it, we don't change it for the rest of the year. That's not the case. Okay. Science is changing, information is changing, and the rates of infection and the COVID rates are changing. So we're in an evolving situation, and what we're deciding today may have to change in a couple of months' time, depending on new circumstances. There will always be change until we get out of this.
You said very clearly at the outset there that health should be taking the lead on this, yes, and ministers should be following the advice of the Department of Health. Is that what you're saying directly now to Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney, who have expressed their concerns about the operation of the scheme?
What I'm actually saying is, I'm, aside from being the Minister of State and the government, I'm a TD, and I know the overwhelming view of the Irish people is they want people coming into the country where they're coming from countries to go into quarantine. That is the overwhelming view of the Irish people. The Irish people have travel restrictions of 5 kilometres, or maybe we can travel 20 kilometres outside the county. They don't get how you can travel 1,000 miles to come into Ireland, whereas people in Ireland are restricted to 20 kilometres or to within their county. There has to be a fairness. Everything we do has to be based on fairness, and this drives the public mad. If people can't go to local funerals because of this, but people can, you know, come in from holidays and non-essential travel from other EU countries where there's a very high incident. And it's important that the people who are doing the right thing understand that the government is making sure everybody else is doing the right thing as well. And I think, you know, there has to be one rule for everybody. You can't have different travel rules depending on where you're coming from if there's COVID in that country. Okay. And it doesn't respect the different passports. COVID is, you know, it's beyond individual country boundaries.
Fionnán, do you detect sympathy for the concerns of multinational corporations and their desire for free and unfettered travel outside of the Department of Health and the other government departments?
No, that's not the situation at the moment at all. At the moment, we have some of the big multinational companies are probably the best equipped to do meetings by Zoom. We have actually certain openings in relation to construction of particular projects in the country in health, education and other key areas as well. But at the moment, we do allow international transport workers, aviation people on ships and truck drivers who are getting tested regularly every time they travel. And that's happening. So goods are moving, and the people who are involved in the moving the goods are being tested on an ongoing basis, okay, whether it's Irish beef being exported or whether it's shipped to China.
Fionnán?
Yeah, so this is why compromises are now being looked at, such as would it be possible for people to come into the country, and if they were given the all clear via a test after 5 days, that they would therefore be freed from the 14-day mandatory quarantine. At the moment, you can effectively do that after 10 to 12 days if you passed two tests. That would be obviously have to be put to the epidemiological experts to see would they be happy with that. It seems to be contrary to the advice that's there at the moment, that the virus can linger within your system for 10 days without showing up. Officials met yesterday from the departments concerned. They will meet again today. They're kicking around the options. So again, it does go back to how strict do we want to be in terms of the system that we have in place. Are we of the view that, first off, Irish citizens, where there are large numbers of those people in particular countries, that they should be able to keep travelling? Also, what is going to be the business impact here? I mean, you can shut down the entire country, you can make everybody work from home all of the time if that's what you want to do to minimise your risks. But in every week, the government is making decisions about who can and who can't go to work, who can and who can't go to school, what sort of restrictions should be in place in terms of daily movements. And this is an element of that. So basically, to be fair to the other departments, they are arguing that it's not just the pure public health advice that should apply here, because that will always be, you know, restrict as much as you possibly can. They're saying there are other arguments here, such as business needing to keep going, essential workers being able to continue to come in and out of the countries as well.
We're nothing if not prepared on this programme, because we do have somebody to consult on the epidemiology of this. Dr. Gabriel Scally, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What view do you take of doing anything other than putting everybody who comes into the country in mandatory quarantine, no matter what country they have come from?
Well, it is the logical, in fact, the only sensible thing to do. I'm amazed that there's a discussion about how, depending on where your passport was issued, you might or might not be a risk in terms of bringing in the virus and bringing in new variants, or that there should be widespread exemptions for people coming from countries with a lot of Irish people living in them or whatever. It's a very peculiar way of dealing with managed isolation. Quarantine is centuries old, and it works, but it only works if you do it properly. You can't have half a quarantine where lots of people can avoid it.
But Dr. Scally, in the hierarchy of risks that we're dealing with, or fires that we're fighting on different fronts at the moment, the number of cases linked to foreign travel is a fraction of a percent. So it's not really the biggest problem, is it?
Well, it depends the way you look at it. You could say that all the cases were linked to foreign travel because they all got here. The Spanish variant got to Ireland last autumn because people travelling in and out from their summer holidays. The UK variant got to Ireland, people travelling.
But we are where we are, Dr. Scally, now. So now what we're dealing with is a problem of community transmission rather than something that is coming into the country from outside.
The problem, I tell you where we are now. We are in a situation where there are variants around the world that are extraordinarily dangerous, potentially setting us back enormously. And the reason for restricting international travel until we get the virus much more under control is that some of these variants can dodge the vaccine. Some of them are much more infectious. Some of them are much more lethal. And keeping the variants out is absolutely crucial. There's little point in a country vaccinating and getting the numbers down if you're prepared to welcome new variants to your shore that will undo all that hard effort. I mean, the second point is that the evidence around the world is that it's countries that have got the virus well under control and kept it under control that have done better economically. This continuing will we, won't we, delay and dither about putting in place public health measures to protect the population is really bad for the health of the population, but it's also extraordinarily bad for the economy.
What do you make of the proposal to let people out of mandatory quarantine after 5 days if they have a negative PCR test?
I think that's up for debate. There are places around the world that do operate with perhaps a negative test before travel, a test on the first day of arrival, and a test 5 or 6 days later. I mean, all of that is up for discussion and debate, and it will depend on the evidence we have about the variants that are potentially coming into the country. But the safest way to do it is to do it properly and keep people in managed isolation for at least 10 to 14 days.
Sean Fleming, let me go back to Gabriel Scally's point there about it being the dithering that is doing the damage to the economy, not the actual restrictions. Would you accept that?
Well, there is uncertainty, and no business likes uncertainty, and people want certainty so they can plan the business when they're opening or when they're doing additional work. But if I listen to Professor Scally carefully there's a couple of significant points that can help the robust debate that's happening at government level, and I think amongst the people of Ireland, is the Department of Foreign Affairs are concerned if somebody goes, a country goes on the list, when they come back off the list, maybe there should be an end date put at day one, and it will expire after a certain number of weeks, if certain criteria are met, that be built in day one. Professor Scally is talking about 10 days in quarantine. Maybe if it was reduced from the 14 to 10 or some other figure, it might be, we'd be in a situation of we wouldn't need as many additional hotels, and people said we don't have the facilities, and if it achieves the same effect. So I actually think, even listening to the professional advice there is scope to refine the quarantine process to ensure that everybody who comes into the country, regardless of their passport, is treated equally. And maybe there would be an end date and a reduction in the number of days. These are suggestions, okay. I think...
That puts you very significantly at odds with the Minister for Foreign Affairs and the Taoiseach now, doesn't it?
No, I'm actually helping both of them when I say the point that they make is when a country goes onto the list, how will we know they ever come back? I'm actually saying that when they go onto a list, there's a built-in end date straight away, and they can only go back on the list a second time if conditions merited at that time. And I would say the issue of maybe...
Okay.
The 14 days being looked at. It is I'm a layperson, it seems a long time to me. If people can be cleared in 10 days or less, maybe that would reduce the impact of the quarantine. And I think there's scope in some of those areas. That would be my suggestion for public health to take the lead.
Okay.
But I'd say refine it such that it works for
everyone. Fionnán Sheehan, has Sean Fleming found peace in our time?
Yeah, the issue around the number of hotel rooms, bit of a red herring there, I'm hearing, that is manageable, that the numbers that are travelling here at the moment from the countries of particular concern are relatively low, and therefore that is manageable. The issue still seems to be, as Gabriel Scally has been alluding to, the variants of concern. What exactly are you doing to address that issue? And the problem therein is that those are the three big EU countries that are concerned there. So there is an element of a perfect storm here. It's not as if you're putting in countries onto the quarantine list that are, yes, in the EU, but have relatively small domestic populations and relatively small Irish populations. They are the big three that you're looking at the moment, and that's why this impasse has developed.
Fionnán Sheehan, Gabriel Scally and Sean Fleming, thank you very much. We're going north of the border after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.